Haynes will get a blue shirt trooper soon, and the state wants residents to weigh in now on the Haynes Highway project. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Haynes in the Chilkat Valley will soon have a new law enforcement officer on the job. After more than a year of the Alaska State Trooper post in Haynes being vacant, a new trooper will arrive permanently in about a month. Trooper Andrew Neeson will be arriving about September 1st, according to Public Information Officer Beth Ipsen with the troopers. Neeson is currently stationed in Fairbanks with the Roving Rural Unit there. That unit travels to outlying villages and areas in the interior. Haynes Wildlife Trooper Ken Van Spronson has been the only trooper stationed in Haynes since Trooper Josh Bentz left Haynes for a post in Juneau in spring 2012. Van Spronson is supposed to be able to focus on wildlife enforcement, but often had to assist in regular law enforcement calls under state jurisdiction while the so-called blue shirt position was vacant. A shortage of troopers statewide meant about 30 posts around the state were vacant for the last year. The Department of Transportation is gearing up, after 8 years of planning, to begin the multi-year project on more than 20 miles of the Haynes Highway. And the state is looking for public comments on the project now before design and engineering plans have been completely finalized. The project plans to improve and widen the highway between miles 3.5 and 25 over the next several years. Much of the project runs through the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve. Major components of the project include replacing the Chilkat River Bridge and stabilizing the areas where rock and mudslides occur, and widening and straightening the highway. The 2-foot shoulders will be expanded to 6 feet each. The state has completed several environmental and engineering studies. The most recent environmental assessment is available now. The project is being divided into sections. At a March public meeting in Haynes, project manager Jim Scholl said the state was planning on starting the project in spring 2014 on the section between miles 21 to 25. But Scholl said this week that plans have changed. A piece of private property in that section that the state needs to acquire to do the project is in probate, making it difficult to settle the transfer before work would begin. Instead, the state is planning on starting the project next spring at the 3.5-mile or airport through 12-mile stretch. Project engineer Greg Lockwood said that portion doesn't have any significant landmarks like the bridge or slide area, but will mostly include work on widening the road and accessing turnouts. He said that section will hopefully only take one season to complete.
We do have some minor drainage issues that we're fixing. But yeah, I guess it's one of the more boring sections, I guess, if you look at it that way. We're not dealing with the bridge or the slide areas.
Scholl will be in town again on August 5th for public meetings in Haynes and Cluckwan. The state is also taking written public comment on the project and environmental assessment now.
You know what? We'll take comments on the project, not only the EA, but I'm sure people have questions about engineering details. For instance, we expect people to want to know what we're going to do with their driveway.
And Scholl encourages the public to get involved now in order to have a say in the project before details are finalized.
When we're about ready to pave is a bad time for people to comment because it's already kind of a done deal. And it's not a done deal at this stage of the game. We still can make changes. We believe we've done our homework. But at this stage of the game, we're not absolutely certain that we know everything. Maybe there's some new information we could get to make the project better, or maybe we can look at it a little bit different way. And so this is the right time to comment.
The public meetings will be August 5th. The Cluckwan meeting will be at 10 a.m. to noon in the ANS Hall. The public meeting in Haynes will be that evening from 6 to 8 in the Chilkat Center. The environmental assessment is available online and at the Haynesboro Public Library. We've also linked to the Haynes Highway Project website on our KHNS News webpage. And here's another Southeast project accepting comments from the public. And this one has received national attention. The Alaska Department of Transportation is collecting public comments about the state's newest set of options for how to improve access to Ketchikan's Gravina Island. DOT hosted a public meeting recently in Ketchikan. KRBD's Lila Carey was there and has this report.
Members of the public can submit comments on the newest Gravina access study through a variety of methods. A recent public hearing was one way, but written comments will be accepted through the DOT website and via regular mail. But will those official comments include social media posts? Well, maybe. During an open house and public hearing in Ketchikan, DOT Southeast Region Director Albert Claw says they're considering it. And he notes that a Facebook post linking to the study has been very popular. So how popular? To answer that, he calls over DOT spokesman Jeremy Woodrow.
Jeremy.
Yes.
How many Facebook comments do we get today?
We had over 39 Facebook comments, and the post was seen by over 13,000 different people.
13,000?
Correct.
Was it shared numerous times?
It was shared numerous times. I don't have the number of shares because I can't see that on my phone, unfortunately.
A quick check on Facebook the next morning shows the post was shared more than 30 times. Why that particular post and this particular issue is so popular is open to speculation, but the Access Project did receive national attention in 2007 when former Governor Sarah Palin halted plans to build a $400 million bridge to Gravina in response to a national backlash against earmarks. As the vice presidential candidate the following year, she called it the Bridge to Nowhere in many of her campaign speeches, and 5 years later, the project still is mentioned by pundits debating federal projects. The newest study offers two scaled back bridge options and four ferry plans. Large maps and information about each were pinned to the walls of the Ted Ferry Civic Center, and DOT official John Barnett talked with a small group of local residents about the project. He notes that the bridge options each cost more up front than any of the ferry plans, but
a bridge maybe run you $250,000 a year to maintain a bridge, whereas a ferry is, the existing ferry right now in Ketchikan is $2 million a year. And then you look at a bridge over 75 years, that pretty much stays the same. You know, there's a little bit of maintenance, but with a ferry, you're looking at a ferry replacement about every 30, 35 years.
A handful of residents testified during the public hearing. Most favored a bridge, any bridge. Borough Manager Dan Bockhorst stressed the need for easy access to Ketchikan's airport, which he says is the state's fifth busiest. Bockhorst adds that Ketchikan residents should receive the same treatment as other Alaskans and should not be charged the proposed $5 toll.
The Ketchikan Gateway Borough, representing its citizens, wants equal treatment as residents of other communities have with respect to their airports. This is a major airport. I'm unaware of any other airport in Alaska that, other than Ketchikan, which we have currently in effect a toll in order to get there. So we are in opposition to any prospect of a toll unless similar arrangements apply to every resident of the state.
Michael Spence, representing the Southeast Alaska Pilots Association, a marine pilots organization, spoke against both bridge options, citing concerns about how such construction would affect marine traffic in the Tongass Narrows. Regarding the F3 option, he talked about increased traffic in the west channel of the Narrows due to the proposed low bridge over the east channel. In addition, Spence says,
this proposal neglects to state the hazards of introducing so many turns in the approaches to Ketchikan's harbor for very large vessels, and how those turns will be safely executed at times of winds over 20 knots or reduced visibility.
Spence also estimates that large cruise ships will lose about 30 minutes of port time if they're forced to travel through the West Channel. He says the proposed design for the C-3-4 option provides openings that are too narrow for cruise ships to safely pass through. Wally Klingelhut spoke strongly in favor of a bridge and received some spontaneous applause for his comments.
When they said the Bridge to Nowhere, that's exactly where Ketchikan is going without a bridge. Nowhere. And right now what we're doing is putting a few dollars and cents in a lot of hearings and spending a lot of state money and federal money on hearings when we could have had that bridge already. There's no excuse for that.
Carol Cairns also attended the hearing but didn't speak. She says her comments wouldn't fit into the 3-minute time limit, so she's submitting them in writing instead. She brought along a framed image, though, which she says sums up her comments visually.
This is a poster. It's done by Robert Walsh of Ted Stevens, and it's essentially a commentary on the Gravina Access Project being the poster child for political corruption.
Karen says she's concerned with how the bridges would affect not only marine traffic, but float planes. Any of the ferry alternatives works for her, but she says the problem with that is Ketchikan doesn't receive adequate funds from the state to maintain its ferries. DOT is taking comments on the draft supplemental environmental impact statement through August 13th. After that, officials will prepare a final SEIS. The department plans to file a record of decision by next spring. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Layla Carey for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.